Jackson, W266, DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition, presented by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Stacey Lynn in Washington. It's been 2 years since the deadly attack on the Capitol. Today, President Biden awarded the highest civilian honor to 14 heroes from that day.
You held the line that day, and what was on the line was our democracy. And history will remember your names. And history will remember your names. They'll remember your courage. They'll remember your bravery. They'll remember your extraordinary commitments to your fellow Americans. It's not hyperbole. That's a fact.
13 times was not the charm for Republican leader Kevin McCarthy. But on day four of voting, he is inching closer to getting enough votes to become the new House Speaker.
How are we all going to work together? It's new for us, one being in the majority, but being in a tight majority. I think at the end of the day, we're going to be more effective, more efficient, and definitely government's going to be more accountable.
The House is on a break right now. They'll be back at it at 10 p.m. Eastern time tonight. More positive news today about the Buffalo Bills' safety.
From his hospital bed in Cincinnati, DeMar Hamlin was able to speak with his teammates via FaceTime. It occurred as the Bills players were taking part in a team meeting. Buffalo offensive lineman Deion Dawkins described the moment.
The excitement was beautiful. It was amazing. It has given us so much energy, so much, you know, bright, high spirits, whatever you want to call it. It is giving it to us.
Another good sign, Hamlin's breathing tube has now been removed. Steve Futterman, CBS News.
Our Jim Crisula tells us a crucial pipeline has been partially shut down most of the week.
A portion of the Colonial Pipeline, which provides most of the fuel for the East Coast, has been shut down since a spill was discovered Tuesday near Danville, Virginia. That part of the nation's largest fuel pipeline is expected to restart over the weekend.
The December jobs report was a good one, says Bankrate.com's Mark Hamrick.
We now know that there are recently nearly 10.5 million job openings with 5.7 million unemployed persons. That's a mix underscoring a continued mismatch between the supply and demand for workers.
And that fueled a rally on Wall Street today, the Dow closing 700 points higher. Speaking of money. Make sure to get your Mega Millions tickets. You've got another chance at winning almost $1 billion. The jackpot's now an estimated 940 mil, the sixth largest in history. You dreaming about how you'd spend all that dough? Remember, Uncle Sam takes his share first, so you'd walk away with only about $483.5 million after taxes. The drawing is tonight at 11. This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance, so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual Insurance.
The Shaw 101 FM, Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell with this news. Republicans in the Wisconsin State Senate say they're close to supporting legalizing medical marijuana. Majority Leader Devin LeMahieu tells the Journal Sentinel the bill could pass if marijuana is only prescribed for people in serious pain. That's the first time the top Senate Republican shown support for the idea. The Marquette University Law School poll says 80% of people in Wisconsin supported medical marijuana in 2019. It's someone's lucky day in Luck, Wisconsin. That's where someone bought a $15 million Megabucks ticket. Luck is a tiny village just up the road from St. Croix Falls. The lucky winner has 6 months to claim their prize. In sports, the Bucks host Charlotte tonight. Tomorrow afternoon, Wisconsin plays Illinois and Marquette takes on Georgetown. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm. Built for real life.
Bringing some sanity to the airwaves. The Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM. Native Roots Radio is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
E2Go.com.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, any cut deeper.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Kadagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot, and we discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Wendy, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
This portion of the show is brought to you by MNsure. MNsure can help you find a plan that covers your prescriptions and save you money. Visit MNsure.org to get started.
Got a jam-packed show here. We got Gina Peltier on. Ogama's trying to get on. We have Wendy with the animal, sacred animal section. And then State Senator Mary Kunish on today. So happy January 6th Insurrection Day, Wendy.
Yeah, I know. We've been hearing a lot of news about it today. So it's just a constant reminder of the upset in our Minnesota and not Minnesota, in our state capital.
Yeah.
Not our state capital.
National capital.
Oh, my gosh, where am I?
I'll get you some coffee.
Thank you.
Decaf is not working for you.
No, it's not.
Hey, so it's like old time's sake here. We have Gina, Wendy. Mm-hmm. Gina sat in for Ogama for many, many months while she was gone. And here she is, and she's wearing a Resist shirt, and she's got some news about a special program we're doing Monday. Awesome shirt. Welcome, Gina.
Hey, Robert. Hey, Wendy. Thank you so much for having me back.
Yeah, it's like old time's sake, Wen.
As always. That's great, Gina. It's great to see you. Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year. So I'm on tonight's show again to talk about the virtual rally that we're going to have on Monday. The Stop Line 3 Rally for the Rivers Reunion, Justice for Nebe. It's the second anniversary of the January 9th Rally for the Rivers, where a jingle dress dance water healing ceremony was interrupted by law enforcement ending in multiple arrests. And it's crazy to be on the show today of the 2-year anniversary of the insurrection of the Capitol, talking about our rally that we had 2 years ago on the 9th. It's quite the difference seeing the insurrection at the Capitol and then seeing how law enforcement handled a bunch of peaceful, concerned citizens on January 9th when we were at the Rally for the River.
Wow, really good point, Gina. I mean, let's talk a little bit about that for a second, because the irony of that, of white settlers with Trump and Confederate flags going and trying to take over the national government, where we have people with great hearts, peaceful protesting. What a difference.
Yeah, I mean, I was there that day at the rally, at the healing ceremony down by the river. And I did go to witness the devastating destruction that day. And it was quite the thing. It was so powerful to be part of the healing ceremony down by the river, to see all those people show up. It was the beginning, towards the beginning of the front lines resistance against Line 3. Of course, we've been fighting it for 7 years before that, 8 years, and Winona most of her life. But but to see all those people come out, it was hopeful, you know, and then to travel and go and see firsthand the destruction that this corporation was doing to our land, it was traumatizing. To see the earth being torn up like that, and to see people just recklessly not caring about the people who do live on the land and the creatures and the animals and stuff like that. We did have some tree sitters out there who were brave and sat out there for, I don't know how they did it. I couldn't do it, but, and then again, like I said yesterday, in the show yesterday, that we saw cracks in the pipe that had been repaired, you know, and they didn't even look like they were repaired that much, but
spray painted. They were spray painted, right?
So we were down there and at the construction area site, and we were showing up and just, you know, all these cars just parking on the side of the road, and all these people coming together, and just then, of course, you know, after coming out of this healing ceremony, you just come out to see all this devastation. It's just crazy. But, you know, it got dangerous when law enforcement showed up. Yeah. And it's crazy because you didn't even see that many law enforcement show up for the insurrection on January 6th. Right. But here they even called out the National Guard that day. And we still had our brave jingle dress warriors who were still performing the healing ceremony, which was needed. I think we all needed it that day, seeing the destruction and then having the law enforcement come out like that. You know, they had their whole waistbands just lined with zip ties. They were making threats, telling us to, you know, leave or we'll be arrested. You know, and it's crazy because we had so many people out there that day and none of the officers were hurt. No water protectors, aren't violence. We were out there trying to bring awareness to what was going on, you know, and they just went ahead and arrested us. It's quite crazy. It's quite the sight to see those law enforcement not caring, being on the, they're basically missionaries for a foreign corporation. And it's quite sad that they would be the violent ones. And then that too, people always, you know, talk about us walking in the streets and blocking the streets. And, you know, it's not that dangerous until someone purposely veers off towards you, you know, which I saw happen. You see, people are mad that we're in the streets, you know, resisting a pipeline and, you know, just, I don't know, interrupting their day. You know, they just had to slow down a little bit, but they don't need to, you know, turn their cars and veer off at us and pretend they're going to hit us or try to hit us. I think between the law enforcement and the random citizen you got who wanted to, you know, try and hit us with their vehicle, that was the only violence there that day. You know, water protectors just wanted to heal and bring awareness to everything going on. So it's crazy to have the Capitol, the insurrection happen, and then a few days this rally happened, and you know, the state had to call the National Guard, and we weren't doing anything wrong. We weren't doing anything violent. We're trying to save everyone's water and everyone's life. So
we're used to that, aren't we? I mean, think of all the way the Wounded Knee, and think of the first day of colonization. So let's talk about real quick, we only got a couple minutes left here, let's talk about Monday is going to be live at noon. Winona LaDuc, many people like yourself will be on, and then we're going to rebroadcast that show in a shortened version of it at 6 o'clock all over Turtle Island on our regular show. But we're excited. Where can people find things? We can go to Honor the Earth. Tell us a little bit about that, Gina.
Yeah, so to find the links, you know, you can just go to Honor the Earth's Facebook, Native Roots Radio Facebook. We're posting it on our honorearth.org/events. or you could just go to honorearth.org and take a look at all the good stuff we have going on and all the stuff we are fighting. But it's going to be a good show. We're going to hear from Winona herself. She was arrested that day. We're going to hear from others who were arrested. We're going to hear from the attorneys and what happened, the charges, and what is still being done today to support those who have charges. There was over 1,000 arrests accumulated, and we got down to 100, so we're still supporting that. And we'll also hear from Wadukawad Amigwad and the work that they're doing to monitor the damages that Enbridge did. And it's really awful that we have citizens doing that monitoring and not actually the state or the government doing that monitoring. So we'll hear from them as well.
Well, and heads up, Wisconsin, you need to listen to this because that's coming your way. Gina, thank you so much for coming on. Great to see you. As always, we're having flashbacks of the good time we had months ago. It was really great having you on every day, bringing us the news. And good to see you, and we'll see you Monday.
Yes. Thanks for having me, guys. Drink your water. Be safe.
Right on. Good one. Hey, we'll be right back. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Stay with us.
When we heal from our traumas,
when we face our fears,
let go of our addictions,
when we relearn our values,
when we live our teachings,
respecting our elders,
cherishing and honoring our children,
when we honor and take care of our spirit,
there will be no room left for sexual violence.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Health insurance that fits my budget? I'm covered. I needed health coverage I could count on and afford. MinSure helped me find a plan that works for me, and they helped me save money. Did you know that most Minnesotans qualify for savings through MinSure? And they have free experts who can help you sign up for coverage. Go to MinSure.org today and get started and get covered. That's MNSure.org. MNSure.org.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
This is Leonard Peltier. I am in Coleman 1 U.S. Penitentiary, and I'm listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is brought to you by the Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
So I think we got Ogama on the phone here, or smoke signals or something. Something's going up there in the deep north. Welcome, Ogama. Can you hear us?
I can. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Awesome. So what's not awesome today is for some reason my computer is just not registering my camera or microphone. I'm backstage, but I can't hear you, see you, and you can't hear or see me. So we're doing a workaround today, and we're going on the phone. And special thanks to Gina Peltier for jumping on and covering me for that first segment, because I've been working on this for the last about 35 minutes and can't seem to get it fixed.
Oh, I hear you. Technology.
Yeah, it's Friday. I think my computer's just decided it wants a three-day weekend, so we'll see what happens.
Well, let us have the news, whatever you got, and then we got Wendy on standby and can give us some Fun Facts Friday, too, so let her rip.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So one of the first things I want to talk about, because we talk a lot about Line 3 here in Minnesota, Line 5 over in Wisconsin, pipelines and other projects that are damaging to Mother Earth and to Native sovereignty and human existence, really. But I wanted to highlight something that came out of the Associated Press today. Native people have rallied outside the federal courthouse against lithium mining in Nevada. One of the largest lithium mines planned in the U.S. Opponents of it are now urging a federal judge to vacate the U.S. government's approval of the project until it completes additional environmental reviews and compliance with all state and federal laws. That sounds really familiar, doesn't it, Robert, Wendy? Much of the opposition of Line 3 was similar, right?
Absolutely. I mean, we have to find a way to have the resources that we need to live and limit the damage to the earth.
Right. I don't know that there is a way to limit the damage to the earth without you know, hemp batteries in place of lithium batteries.
Exactly.
That would be the way to go. So this is about a two-year-old legal battle over the Bureau of Land Management's approval of the mine Lithium Nevada Corp. and that plans to be near the Nevada-Oregon line. Lawyers for that company insist that it complies with U.S. laws and regulations, but people who are lawyers for Nevada and other places are saying that if it doesn't, and they believe that it doesn't, the project is critical, and it's really going to do damage to ancient volcanoes. They believe the project's atop of an ancient volcano, and it's the largest known lithium deposit of its kind. And they're trying to say the world will suffer if the project is delayed any further. But it's also a home for pronghorn antelope, golden eagles, sage grouse, cutthroat trout, and other animals, as well as would create massive air and toxic water, air pollution and toxic water pollution as well. And it would be an open pit mine, which we all know has been banned in many other countries. And the mine would be deeper than the length of a football field. So, I mean, this is just, I mean, all around just sounds like an awful project. It's in violation of the Endangered Species Act due to a local snail. And, you know, it's harmful to indigenous people. So our prayers are up for those people who are fighting the district court and taking the time to protect their land and water and do what they need to do for their land and water down there in the Nevada area. Climate News also reports that there's been a biodiversity accord that incorporates indigenous beliefs. About 200 countries signed off on an agreement that promotes human rights and the rights of nature, and they're putting a plan to restore biodiversity. It's a 14-page document, which is non-binding, but it was adopted December of 2022 at COP15. And it was the 12-day conference in Montreal under the United Nations Convention of Biological Diversity. It's the first international agreement to give credence to the movement that recognizes nature and animals and plants and soils and mountains to possess rights similar to those of human beings. So while this is exciting, I do believe that the Indigenous Environmental Network had some things to say about how things got done with this. And the reason for that is there was information that came through on these solutions that they put through. The three main goals are conserving biological diversity, the sustainable use of components, and the fair and equitable sharing of benefits arising out of the utilization of resources. However, while it has references to indigenous peoples and some references to rights, including free, prior, and informed consent, it also has a lot of false solutions, harmful instruments, and then financialization of Mother Earth. Meaning, basically, it references indigenous people and sets targets, but it also means that peoples and local communities would only be accessed with their free, prior, and informed consents in accordance with national legislation. The framework does not question the viability of the global economy, meaning it places property rights above all of the rights, and we still have systems that prioritize private interests over indigenous and human rights. So even though this has been approved by 200 countries, it still has the national legislation first and foremost. So it's not something that we can call on to protect our nations from biological harm, such as lithium minings and things like Line 3. So one step forward and two steps back, I think, Robert and Wendy.
Yeah, the more the things change, the more they stay the same.
Yeah, we were just watching a program. I think it was on 60 Minutes on Sunday, and we had those scientists on saying that the Earth was sustainable when there was about 3 billion people on the Earth. But now there's 8 billion people on the Earth, and the Earth cannot regenerate its resources fast. We're taking those resources way faster than the Earth can supply those resources for us, and we're in a downward spiral.
Yeah.
And if things don't change, we will not be here.
Right. The planet will be here, though, and then some animals will come back because we're gone.
Yeah.
And then maybe we can exit to Mars or
And ruin them, or ruin that planet.
Uranus. I just like to say that.
Yeah, of course.
Thank you. Go ahead, Ogumah.
No, that's okay. I mean, I'm just reading another story here from AP News out of Arizona. There's a tribe in Arizona that has one of the largest and most secure rights to the Colorado River and water in it, and they have approved a lease to give some of that water to Arizona, which has obviously been hit very hard by cuts to water supply out of the Colorado River. The Colorado River Indian tribes passed a resolution in 2020 for water leases. They have more water they have right to than they use because they lack the infrastructure, and they're going to use the money from the leases to be able to improve things on their tribe, which is great news. But it's also kind of terrifying that we have tribes that are leasing water to states, yet the federal government's questioning our sovereignty, right?
Wow, really good point. And, you know, it's so funny that you bring up the Colorado River. We were talking about, with these big storms that are happening on the West Coast and continues to happen because of global warming, is there any water now filling up that Colorado River that's super duper low?
Yeah, Lake Mead and right by the Hoover Dam is dangerously low levels. Mexico is being hit hardest because they're, of course, at the end of the Colorado River. The Colorado River has about 40 million people in Wyoming, Colorado, Utah, New Mexico, Arizona, California, and Nevada, plus Mexico. And currently in the U.S., there's mandatory shortages, meaning they are on mandatory water watch. They are not allowed to use more than a certain amount of water. And the tribe is now diverting 3,414 acre-feet of water per year from the Colorado River, but it's a lower tier for them. So I don't know. It's crazy how much this
yeah.
– I mean,
it's stunning.
This is like a apocalypse scenario, and people are just – we're just talking about it on the news like it's a totally normal thing, right?
Mm-hmm. Wow, good point.
Exactly.
Hey, Ogumah, we're down to a minute here. If you got anything else, if not, take the rest of the day off after your –
Thanks for the interesting news. It gives us a lot to think about and talk about.
Yeah, well, thank you for allowing me to come on a little bit of a backwards way. And happy Friday to everybody. Give Mary Kunish my best. I'm just going to tune in and listen. So,
right on. Hey, that was Ogumah with the news that you don't hear anywhere else, Wendy. Mm-hmm. Up next, we're going to talk to State Senator Mary Kunish, and we're excited to do that. We'll be right back after this short message. We still have like 30 seconds.
All right.
Give me a fun fact. Quick,
fun fact,
10 seconds.
Okay, listen, tonight at 6:09 here in the Central Time is going to be a micro moon, and I'm going to talk about that in a little bit.
Right on. We'll be right back. We got State Senator Mary Kunish. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Stay with us.
Take care of your community by joining Metro Transit's Adopt a Stop program. Show your community pride by adopting a transit stop. Join us in helping keep the stop and your neighborhood beautiful and report.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk from Muskego to Pewaukee. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief. It's been 2 years since the attack on the Capitol, and today President Biden held a ceremony at the White House honoring the heroes who upheld democracy on January 6th.
The U.S. Capitol was breached, which had never happened before in the history of the United States of America, even during the Civil War.
Day four of voting and still no new Speaker of the House. But CBS's Robert Costa tells us Kevin McCarthy is closer to getting gaveled in.
Friday afternoon, a lot of his members are getting tired. They want to go home. They want to see momentum for McCarthy before they start to explore other options for the speakership.
Buffalo Bills player Damar Hamlin is off the breathing tube and able to speak on his own. Teammate Deion Dawkins.
Got our boy. The excitement was beautiful. It was amazing. It has given us so much energy, so much, you know, bright, high spirits, whatever you want to call it. It has given it to us.
CBS News Brief. I'm Stacy Lynn.
The Shaw 101 FM, Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Metnair with your headlines. Have you gotten your flu shot yet? Public health officials say with this year's aggressive flu season already underway, it's still not too late to get vaccinated. And with hospitals dealing with a triple burden of flu, COVID-19, and respiratory illness, RSV, it's essential people get their flu shots. After more than 4 years, a federal agency found a Superior refinery's lack of safeguards during a maintenance shutdown led to an explosion in 2018 that injured 36 workers and caused thousands of residents to temporarily evacuate, the blast causing roughly $550 million in damage to the plant. Now the Chemical Safety Board issuing 16 safety recommendations for the refinery, federal agencies, and the industry. Eagle River's popular ice caves won't happen this year. The Chamber of Commerce says conditions just aren't suitable. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
The Devil's Advocates.
The conservative dating app, The Right Stuff, is failing 3 months after launch. In October, the app, The Right Stuff, had just 11,000 downloads.
The profile creation process also asked users to list their thoughts about the January 6th Capitol riots. Two reviewers claimed that FBI and police officers visited their homes after filling out their profiles.
The political party that is The Devil's Advocates radio show, live weekdays from 4 to 6 p.m.
Hump Day equals Hump Day. Greg Bach Day.
It is. Put that on your tombstone.
Oh, yeah.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Yes, you've just convinced me towards a burial service now. That's it.
Was it cremation before? Was that your go-to?
Viking funeral.
Listen to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry right here on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
Plenty of people start something great in their 40s and 50s. Getting your retirement savings on track is no different. Go to aceyourretirement.org and in 3 minutes you'll get personalized tips to help boost your retirement savings. That's aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
This portion of the show is brought to you by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice. And Robert, before we went to commercial, I was talking about tonight's moon and Howling for Wolves.
Was that the cue?
Our sponsor posted on Facebook that tonight, Friday, January 6, 2023, at 6:09 p.m. Eastern Time, which is 7:09 p.m. Central Time here in Minnesota, in the middle of the country.
Finally got that right, huh?
Yes, the first full moon of the new year will reach its peak illumination. This full moon is called a wolf moon.
Oh.
Yeah, which is a micro moon. A micro moon is the opposite of a super moon, and this means that the moon will be at its furthest point of the Earth. So right after tonight's show at 7:09, take a peek outside and you will see the full micro moon.
Awesome. Hey.
Which is the wolf moon. And howling for wolf said, don't forget to howl.
Oh, good one. Hey, before we get to State Senator Mary Kunis here, yeah. We just got to give a shout out to Ayanna, who this is her last day with us, and we're going to be really sad because she's running everything in the background right now. And we'll put her on real quick here and say, we're very sad to see you go, kiddo.
Oh, thank you. I really appreciate it. I'm really happy working with y'all.
It was great having you. It was wonderful.
And you can always go down and work for State Senator Mary Kunis, too, rumor has it. Ho! All right. Cool. Well, we're going to put you in the back again, but we just wanted to give you a special shout out. Maybe we'll pull you out again here at the end of the show and sing something to you. But thank you so much for all you've done. And you're a great young warrior, and we can't you have a bright future ahead of you.
Thank you. I really appreciate it coming from you.
Oh, that was nice. All right. Hey, we're going to take you off and then go to State Senator Mary Kunis, who I don't know. We had this great round dance a few days ago when you were sworn in. And now we have the anti-vaxxers having a rally there at the Capitol. And you guys are working on bills like expanding voter access. And we got people still dealing with vaccines. I don't know. It's upside down world sometimes, State Senator.
It is indeed. It is indeed. I'm happy, everybody. It is. It's really good to be here after our first week of a legislation in the Minnesota Senate and the Minnesota House. Yes, we started out on Monday with just an incredible event. We had dancers come in, or excuse me, drummers and singers come in and start us off in a really good way. We had, you know, I bet there were a couple hundred people there that were there to cheer us on, but also join us in the first ever round dance that we experienced in Minnesota. And so it was probably the most memorable opening of our session that I've ever experienced. And that was even, you know, after my first time ever being sworn in. And so I just feel really, really lucky and privileged to have been part of that. And it's too bad that we're still doing these firsts, you know, but nonetheless we are. And I was glad to see you there, as a friend and yes. not a radio persona, but as a rep for your tribe. Right. So it was all around pretty exciting.
Well, and what's cool is, you know, everyone's connected is Ayana's brother is Opie, who's leaving us. And it's just a small world, you know, the little Opie that was up there with his family singing. So it's a small but strong community.
It is a very strong. And, you know, we had Sharon Day at the governor's inauguration earlier, or the day before.
Right.
Was it? Yeah, it was the day before. And so the Day family certainly is leading the pack when it comes to ensuring that we are following our traditions, that we are honoring our ancestors, but also those that we are there with. And then, you know, just providing that incredible education by example. And so we are definitely indebted to them.
Exactly. And, you know, It's got to feel good, State Senator, that we have a trifecta, because I know you were state representative when we first met you, and you became a state senator, and then they had to do the new boundaries election, and you had to run again. But it must have be a feel really good to have the trifecta, that you feel like you can get things done now.
It absolutely does. I mean, we don't have the opposition like we have experienced for the last, well, since I was elected over 6 years ago. You know, it was either one party had the majority and the other didn't, and then it flip-flopped, and now we have that majority. And so, you know, while we're almost, you know, giddy with excitement with the thought of what we can do for Minnesota, we're trying to be very mindful and get ourselves organized to do the important work, to get done what we can right off the bat. And then, you know, in the Senate, we have a 4-year cycle. So I'm looking to see what we can do for our kids in education as the chair of education finance. we've already started to do, drop some good bills. We have, we're looking at a bill that will allow sharing education data with the tribes from the schools, so that the tribes can support the students in the best way possible that they can. I'm a big fan of full service community schools that have the resources right there on site, so that parents don't have to take off a day of work to take their kid to the dentist or whatever it is, and students don't have to miss a full day. I'm trying to, I've put together a bill that would be a one-time, you know, Minnesota has that surplus. And last year, our Republican chair would not legislate any real funds to the schools. And so they're in a big hurt right now, having not received any additional funding. And so I have a bill to, right off the bat, help with some of the cross subsidies in EL, English learners, and special ed, transportation costs, and then to feed our kids breakfast and lunch when they're at school. And so we're doing some good work. I have a bill that is going to do research, hopefully do research for pollinators, to support our big food bank up here in my district. So we're off to a good start.
Yeah, that's awesome. Really awesome, Wendy.
So exciting, yeah. Really. And it's just like you get to take a deep breath and say, okay, let's go and do this now. Because before it was just like, okay, let's do this, but we know it's nothing's going to happen. So it's really good for you, Mary. That's excellent.
Good for the state of Minnesota.
Yes, good
for
the state of
Minnesota. Very good for the state of Minnesota. And then after that wonderful, fabulous round dance and the singing by Opie Day and the other singers, we had a huge Equal Rights ERA rally, because I'm also carrying that bill. And this is the year that we are going to take it to the voters. Well, actually, it'll be next year when there's another election. But we will take the question to the voters. Should Minnesota include an ERA, an equal rights statement, in our constitution? The people are the ones that have to decide those constitutional amendments. And so hopefully that absolutely will go through and we are going to get it done. I passed it off the House a couple years ago, didn't work in the Senate. This is the year that we're going to pass it in the Senate, pass it in the House, have the governor sign it, put it on the ballot, and get that into our Constitution.
So what is like the process? I know in Indian government what the process is, but let's say you wanted to put together a bill. Would you start it in the Senate and then bring it to the representatives, or would it be the other way around, or do they both go at the same time? How does that work?
It goes both ways. If both bodies can come up with an idea and put together a bill, But they have to have authors in both parties, so in both bodies. So mm-hmm. when I have a bill that I want to do, I go to our researchers and to our fiscal folks and say, I have this bill. And they actually put it together. They write mm-hmm. the bill in legislative legalese.
Right.
And then we can review it and make those changes. And when I'm satisfied, I drop the bill in, and then it has to get read on the floor of the Senate, and that's when it gets a bill number. But then they jacket them. So they jacket my bill, and they put a yellow jacket on it, a yellow piece of paper with a title and spaces for signatures. And there's a second set that are green jackets that go over to the House members. Mm. And so usually I have in mind already who will be my author in the House. Mm-hmm. And I send that over to them, and they sign it, and they get more signatures. And then we get a hearing to have it heard and discuss it and pass it and send it to the governor.
Wow, that is so cool. That is so cool. Yeah, you will expect something in your email from me soon. Oh, and it might yeah. be... It might be already done, so your people don't have to do all the legalese. But that's exciting to, mm-hmm. to know the process, because I don't think I ever really knew. And then we didn't really want to talk about it because we weren't a trifecta for a few years there. So,
yeah.
But let's take a break here, Mary. And then do you think you have some time for close out with us and howl?
Yeah, I'll stick around for a while.
Right on. Sounds good. Wow, it's good to have you, Wendy, back together here. It's pretty exciting. You're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we're here with State Senator Mary Kunish.
Stay with us. Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Take care of your community by joining Metro Transit's Adopt a Stop program. Show your community pride by adopting a transit stop. Join us in helping keep the stop and your neighborhood beautiful and report any maintenance needs to us. We'll put a sign at the stop recognizing your efforts, plus you'll get 10 free rides every month. Get details at metrotransit.org/adopt. That's metrotransit.org/adopt.
Health insurance that fits my budget? I'm covered. I needed health coverage I could count on and afford. MinSure helped me find a plan that works for me, and they helped me save money. Did you know that most Minnesotans qualify for savings through MinSure? And they have free experts who can help you sign up for coverage. Go to MinSure.org today and get started and get covered. That's MNSure.org. MNSure.org.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves. Please join Howling for Wolves on Wolf Day, Tuesday, February 7th, 2023 at the Minnesota State Capitol. You can sign up on Howling for Wolves event page. Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl! Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
And Mary, on February 7th for Wolf Day, I will be there, and I'm going to be meeting with my legislators to talk about the importance of keeping our Minnesota wolves safe.
That is wonderful. I just want to invite anyone and everyone to come to the Capitol, because as they say, that is the people's house. And yeah. So I would encourage folks, if you have something that you are really passionate about, that you feel like you would like to reach out and advocate, especially to the state legislature, please do contact your House member, contact your senator, contact your governor, and try to make an appointment to see them and talk about the things that really matter to you and why they matter so much. There are ways to follow the bills and the legislature. You can easily go to our state government pages for the Minnesota Senate. It's as simple as, I will tell you right here, just going to, let's see here, www.senate.mn, and you will get all the information that you need about our senators, their offices, their contact information, what committees that they are sitting on. You can look up their bills, all of those things, but you can also then contact their assistant and get an appointment, or come in on days that we have session and knock on the door of the Senate and say, I want to speak to Senator Kunesh or Senator Hoo-Hoo or whoever it is, and they might come out and chat with you. But don't feel intimidated. It's your house. You elected all of us, and so it is our job to listen to you.
So that's the best way to do it, is to talk to whomever's assistant and set up an appointment. That would be the best way.
Because sometimes everything goes through our assistants, pretty much. They manage our calendars. Right now, we hardly have time for a meal or to use a restroom or anything. And so we have just excellent staff that really mind what we're doing and are probably our best assets.
Wow, that's I'm learning a lot in the show tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for saying that, Mary. And I just want to say, Alice just put up also, there is a Zoom option for Wolf Day. So if you're interested in that and you can't get down to the Capitol, there is a Zoom option.
Wow. Thanks, Alice.
Yeah.
Well, you'll have to stop by on February 7th, you said?
Yeah, February 7th is going to be a big rally at the state capitol. Howling for Wolves is putting it on, and there are assistants there making appointments with everybody's senators so that we could all go in at a certain time to talk to our senators about the importance of our Minnesota Wolves. So we're excited about it.
All right. I will watch for you on February 7th, Wendy.
I'll be there.
Wasn't it one year that a state senator, or were you representative there, spoke to the group, or was that for?
Nope, that was for the Humane Society of the United States on Humane Lobby Day every year. And we will be having a Humane Lobby Day. And Mary came to, we gathered before our meetings with our legislators at the church across the street. And Mary came and talked to us. So we were really happy that she did that and is an advocate for us. Yeah.
Wow. All this stuff I'm learning today. That is really awesome. So what do we got going next here? What would you like to, Wendy always reminds me of, ask the guests what they want to talk about. So what would you like to talk about in the last couple minutes that we have you?
Oh, what do I want to talk about? Well, I hope you all survived that snow. that was quite the snowfall. But I actually held my very first committee hearing today. So I've never been a committee chair before this year. And I held my very first committee meeting in education finance. We all introduced ourselves, talked a little bit about the work that we're that we are going to do. I'm really excited for this coming Wednesday because we have anointed that day a Students' Day. And so we've invited students from all over the state to either Zoom in or come in person to our committee hearing and tell us a little bit about what it's been like to go through the pandemic, how things have changed for them, and you know the good and the bad and the ugly. Hope we don't hear too much of that. And then I also asked them to give us, if they could tell the legislators one thing, what would it be? And so we have students from elementary age all the way through high school that have signed up to do that. And it might be that we actually have too many for the time limit. So I'm thinking we need to do a part two or even maybe like once a month take one of our committee hearing days and listen to the students, because I really want to hear the student voice in the work that we do, as well as teachers. And we'll have days where libraries and librarians and library media specialists come in. We want to hear from all the different groups of people that run our educational system and make sure that that the work that we're doing is really focused at that very grassroots level. Don't really have too much else to...
Let me just say that's a really good point, because I've mentioned now twice that I didn't know certain things that, especially the availability of our representatives. So that is a really good thing to have the young ones know that you're an email away, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it'll be a good experience if they are able to get into the Capitol on that day. Some might have to travel a distance, but I think they're going to do it. And get into the Capitol, come into the testimony room and sit in front of the legislators and tell them like it is. That's a really incredible experience for any young person. So I hope that that we hear some good words from our youth and our students.
And I see Lisa, she's really happy that you're the chair of the Educational Related Committee. Thank you, Senator. It's also awesome. There's four people in the group and three of them have been teachers. So that's boots on the ground that kind of know really the inside of what our students need. So that's really exciting. Instead of in theory,
I'm the chair of education finance. Senator Swadzinski, who was a social studies teacher for like 30 years, is the chair of policy in the Senate. And then over in the House, Chair Joachim is education finance. She herself has worked as a para and as a substitute teacher. Her husband is a teacher. Her son is a teacher. And then we have Lori Pryor, Representative Pryor, who as good as a teacher. I mean, she's all about education. So I would say Minnesota is in very, very good hands when it comes to education in the legislature.
Wow.
That's exciting. It really is. And I think it's great to hear from the students. You're hearing it from the horse's mouth, what's going on and what they need to make their education more better.
More better. Yeah. Yes. That's a New York education speaking right there, by the way. Well, and it's exciting. You know, maybe we can swing Minnesota back to, you know, when I was not even only younger, but when I was... you know, in my 20s, Minnesota was the place to be. People all over the country came and saw how we did it here in Minnesota. And so we can get back to that. We're a leader in education again. That would be totally awesome.
It would be absolutely wonderful.
Hey, Mary, let me just ask you one thing. We're ending the show right now. Just hold on after the show. I got a quick question to ask you off air. All right.
Okay.
Hey. Cool. If you're listening to the show, you are part of the resistance. From Chief Plenty Coops, the ground in which we stand on is sacred ground and is the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, and run for office. You've been listening to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
Free Leonard Peltier.
Now.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
The Devil's Advocates.
Aaron Mostofsky, who rioted at the U.S. Capitol on January 6th, was dressed as Captain Caveman. QAnon shaman meets Law and Order?
Right. I mean, he pulled it off a whole lot better than Aaron Mostofsky.
Well, let me read a quote from the judge in this case. I hope you'll leave some of this fantasy world behind. Mostofsky was sentenced to 8 months in prison.
Looking at the guy, he might be one who loses his mattress on the first day. Breaking news.
Follow the Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
My Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard to take.
But early detection allowed us to take control of the situation together.
Talk to your family about seeing a doctor. Go to alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the...
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.